log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Senior officials and religious figures from across the Muslim world have delivered speeches ahead of International Quds Day, which is marked by rallies in solidarity with the Palestinian people. The chief commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says Israel's national security bubble has burst. Also ahead, thousands take to the streets of Colombia for anti-government protests, marking the eighth day of deadly clashes. Welcome to World News. We're live from the Iranian capital, Tehran. Thank you very much for joining us. Our top story, senior officials and religious figures have delivered speeches hailing the Palestinians' resistance in the face of Israeli occupation and aggression. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed the matter with our guests.
And I welcome everyone to the News Review program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. Senior officials and religious figures from across the Muslim world have delivered speeches ahead of International Quds Day, which is marked by rallies in solidarity with the Palestinian people. They've hailed Palestinians' resistance in the face of Israeli occupation and aggression. Have a listen.
Al-Quds is the center of the nation. Everyone should rise. Everyone should say no to the occupiers or to the aggressors, that no one should touch Al-Aqsa or Al-Quds, which is a political capital for the state of Palestine. It is the capital of the faithful heart. Pious hearts, and it also center of conflict and struggle in the heart of the land of Palestine. Despite all the attempts that the Zionist enemy is doing, the attempts of the United States and many countries in the world, the Palestinian people remain in a state of resistance. Today, we see that the liberation of Al-Quds is closer than any day, and today I tell them that our people will remain on this land and will continue to defend this land and protect it with everything that they have, with everything that they own, and you will leave sooner or later because this is our land. This is the land of our fathers and forefathers, and you must go back to where you came from. What we see, the free people in Al-Quds facing the Zionist enemy who aims to attack the Al-Aqsa Mosque and Al-Quds, they continue with their aggressive policies. This conflict today, this struggle today, this face-off is part of the path towards victory, and you will see how the faithful will come back to the mosque, to the holy sites.
And now joining us for the program is Eric Wahlberg, journalist and author, joining us from Toronto, and Mr. Masoud Shajadeh, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, joining us from London. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both to the program here. Mr. Shajadeh, we're going to start there in London with you, sir. Your thoughts on why it's this important now more than ever to show Palestinians that neither they as a people nor their struggle has become a forgotten one?
Well, it's not forgotten. And the matter of fact is that, we are seeing, especially on Al-Quds Day, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, when internationally people come together and with solidarity with all the oppressed, especially Palestinian, this has become not just an event for those who are fasting and Muslims. It has become an event for all those who are standing against injustice. And, you know, you see around the world Muslims, Jews, Christians, and indeed people of all faith and none, come together because they recognize this fundamental issue which all humanity shares, that we need to stand with the oppressed people, against oppressors. And, you know, despite the fact that the leadership around the world have been coerced to help and support the Zionists, and indeed we have seen normalization with some of these tyrants in the sort of some of the Muslim world leaders supporting these atrocities of Zionists, but nevertheless masses are mobilizing. And this is really what is putting fear in heart of the Zionists. This is why they're reacting to this rise of humanity against the colonialism and apartheid and the Zionist atrocities.
Thank you, sir. And Eric Wahlberg, I'd like to welcome to the program. Eric, hope you're safe and doing well out there in Canada. Now, Eric, we very well know that corporate Western media, as well as Western governments, they see very well and they document very well what's happening to Palestinians in occupied territories, but doesn't get the same coverage. It gets underreported. And also, when it comes to the governments, there's so much bias involved that there aren't days like Al Goetz to bring so much attention worldwide to this issue. Basically, it would really hurt Palestinians and their cause.
The fact that it is a religious event is important also. It's not just, some people just think of it as a territorial dispute, but it's more than that. It really is a fight for justice and for Islam itself, to bring Islam into the world as a force for good. And also to bring Muslims together. It's wonderful that it's initiated by Ayatollah Khamenei, but it has been adopted by both Shia and Sunni in a strictly religious context for Muslims. But also it brings on board all other people that are interested in the struggle. I know that the Al-Quds days I've been on here in Toronto, they have been maybe half Muslim and half of just secular people that are supporting the Palestinians. So it's a wonderful way of bringing people together on a moral basis, not just on a political basis for territorial disputes.
Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us, and do stay safe, both of you. Eric Wahlberg, journalist and commentator, joining us from Toronto, and Masoud Shajad, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, joining us from London. And that's a wrap for this segment of your News Review program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Welcome back. Turning to other news now, the chief commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says Israel's national security bubble has burst. Major General Hossein Salami made the remarks in a TV interview. Salami added that the Zionists are coming closer to a political downfall and their collapse could happen from within. He warned that the first attack on Israel could be the last one, noting that the only one operation can destroy the regime. He mentioned some of the recent security failures in Israel, including a cyber attack against 80 Israeli firms, the ammonia gas leak due to an explosion in Haifa, a blast near Ben Gurion Airport, and a rocket attack near Israel's top secret Dimona nuclear facility. He then warned when 10 incidents happen for Israel, the 11th may possibly follow. Political commentator Bruce Katz says the Israeli regime knows it is not as secure as it hopes.
I think that there's obviously a good deal of truth to the statement, given the what we've seen over the past little while, the explosion near Dimona, basic blackout or hacking of Israeli firms, which shows that their security net is not quite as secure as they would hope it to be. I think that is a very, very strong statement on the part of General Salami. And basically that the very strong rhetoric coming from Iran is in response to what has been extremely aggressive rhetoric from Israel during the Netanyahu years. And also it's a response to repeated attacks within Syria by Israeli air force that's gone on for a number of years now.
And the chairman of the Chiefs of Staff of the Iranian Armed Forces says the Palestinian Intifada is more prepared than ever to uproot Israeli occupiers. Major General Mohammad Baghari warned Israel that the Palestinian uprising has evolved from throwing stones to launching missiles and is on the verge of deterrence. The top Iranian general made the remarks in a Wednesday message to mark the upcoming International Quds Day. That's the last Friday of the holy Muslim month of Ramadan, which was designated by the late founder of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khomeini, in 1979. On the day, people from around the world expressed support for and solidarity with the Palestinians in the face of Israeli aggression. With just one day to the International Quds Day, Tehran has held a meeting to discuss different aspects of the plight of the Palestinian people. This as the Israeli regime continues with its violation of Palestinians' rights amid the silence of the international community. Saman Kajuri has more.
Tehran has hosted a meeting to commemorate the International Quds Day, which falls on May 7th this year. During the event, which was attended by representatives of Palestinian resistance groups in Tehran, participants discussed different aspects of the plight of the Palestinians and the ways for the Islamic world to stand united in the face of the Israeli atrocities in the occupied territories.
The Quds Day is the day of the victory of truth against falsehood, and Imam Khomeini rightfully initiated such a day. This comes as certain Arab and Islamic states are getting disunited, and instead of getting united against the Zionist regime, they have resumed friendly ties with the regime. We believe the current crisis in the Israeli cabinet is a good opportunity for resistance movements, but unfortunately, certain Arab nations do not want to realize this fact. We have no solution but to put aside our differences in the region and stay united in the face of the Zionist regime.
According to the participants at the meeting, Palestinian resistance groups all share the same viewpoint on the right to self-determination and the aspirations of the Palestinian people.
The Islamic Republic of Iran did not only chant slogans and took practical actions on the ground. Part of resistance movement was formed by the Quds Force of the IRGC, which was led by the Iranian top military commander, Haj Qasem Soleimani, who is an honor for us and who made great efforts for Al-Quds. Imam Khomeini put Palestine as the first priority of the Islamic world.
The designation of the Quds Day by Imam Khomeini showed the responsibility of the Islamic Republic toward the Islamic community. These days, the message of the innocence of the Palestinian people has been reported to the world, and we must do our best to draw attention of the global public opinion towards the oppressed people of Palestine with the help of social media.
This year, like last year, due to COVID-19 pandemic, Iran will not hold rallies to mark the International Quds Day, but instead by holding different meetings and conferences under strict health protocols, it will commemorate the day and remind the world of the plight of the Palestinians. The Quds Day is one of the most significant strategies of late Imam Khomeini, who designated the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as the International Quds Day back in 1979. The day is considered an opportunity to reflect the voice of the voiceless Palestinians who are living under the oppression of the Zionist regime.
This year's International Quds Day is of special importance. Pro-Palestine activists believe that at a time when the whole world media outlets are concentrating and covering the COVID-19 pandemic, the plight of the Palestinians should not be forgotten. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Israeli forces killed a Palestinian teenager in the northern West Bank city of Nablus. The Palestinian Health Ministry confirmed the death of the 16-year-old who was targeted in the city's Sadr area. According to local sources, two Palestinians were also wounded by Israeli gunfire. One of them is in a critical condition. Tensions are running high in the occupied West Bank after Israel tightened restrictions on Palestinian worshippers in Jerusalem al-Quds since the start of Ramadan. Israeli forces have cracked down on protests against the curbs, leaving dozens of Palestinians injured. Elsewhere, the Iraqi president has hailed Iran for helping in the fight against terrorism and driving out Daesh terrorists from the country. In an interview, Barham Saleh also honored Qasem Soleimani, stressing that the Iranian general fought beside Iraqis against terrorism during the difficult times of war. The Iraqi president also had praised the bravery of the popular mobilization forces along with other branches of the Iraqi army for their significant role in defeating Daesh and terrorism. On the issue of Tehran-Riyadh meetings, Saleh noted that Iraq has so far hosted more than one round of talks between the two sides. The president maintained that a sovereign Iraq is a common interest of the neighboring countries, and Baghdad should be a binding theme for bringing the region together. Damascus has condemned the unilateral sanctions imposed by the U.S. and some Western states on Iran and Syria, calling for their immediate removal. Syrian Foreign Minister Faisal Mughdad made the call in a phone conversation with his Iranian counterpart Mohammad Javad Zarif. Mughdad hailed Tehran's support in the face of unilateral coercive economic measures imposed on the Syrian people. The top Syrian diplomat also accused the U.S. of plundering his people's resources and targeting their livelihoods to undermine their stance on the sovereignty of their country. For his turn, Zarif reiterated Iran's support for Syrians in their battle against terrorism and their right to determine the future of their country. The two sides also discussed ways of enhancing bilateral relations. And Iran has called for urgent and effective measures against what is called unlawful and unjust unilateral sanctions against developing countries. Iran's deputy permanent representative to the United Nations, Zahra Ershadi, said the nation's right to development would not be exercised while multilateralism is under severe pressure. She added that such bans on science and technology during a global pandemic target ordinary citizens and their right to life and health. Ershadi was speaking at the 6th UN Multi-Stakeholder Forum on Science, Technology and Innovation. Colombian protesters have once again clashed with security forces in Bogota, marking the 8th night of anti-government demonstrations. Demonstrators threw rocks at security forces near a police station while officers responded by using tear gas to disperse the crowd. The protests, which began against a now-cancelled tax reform plan, have morphed into demonstrations against the government's policies on health, education, security, and violence by police. Demonstrators are also calling for universal basic income, the retraction of a health reform plan, and the disbanding of the Mobile Anti-Disturbances Squadron Riot Police. Meanwhile, the Colombian president has called for dialogue to address the ongoing nationwide protests. And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour, but don't go away.
Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
the month of God. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam and welcome to the program. We are with you with another episode of the special series for Ramadan. We are on the eve of the 23rd of Ramadan. Tonight is one of the nights that have been considered as the night of Qadr. Indeed, this night is the most important one among them, as it is most probably the main one. Qadr means value, measurement, and determination. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says, "Indeed, there is no price for your souls except paradise. Therefore, do not sell it for less than this price." This hadith reminds us of Ayah 111 of Surah Tawbah, which reads, "Indeed, Allah has brought from the faithful their souls and their possessions for paradise to be theirs." Human being will recognize God if he recognizes himself, and this cognizance will lead to servitude and worship of God. God has bestowed the practical guidance for us, that is, the Noble Quran, and has made Prophet Muhammad and his progeny, blessings of God upon them, as the interpreters and explicators of this book. The value of the night of Qadr will be observed only when we are committed to follow the Quran and its main interpreters, the Prophet and his progeny. In this part of the program, we continue the discussion on atonement for fasting. If a person is unconscious for one or several days in the month of Ramadan, he is not obligated to fast for those days as compensation. However, if a person is fasting but he gets drunk before dusk, that is the time of breaking the fast, he should compensate later on for that day. A woman who has failed to fast for several days due to her period or childbirth should fast as compensation after Ramadan. And if she delays till the next Ramadan, she must pay the atonement. On the eve of the 23rd of Ramadan, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, used to keep his family awake so that they wouldn't be deprived of the blessings of this night and the rewards of night vigil. He said, "He who spends the night of Qadr in worship with faith and heed, his past sins will be forgiven. As the other nights of Qadr, on this night we perform ghusl, that is the ritual washing of body. But according to hadith, tonight we are recommended to perform it twice. One is before iftar or breaking the fast, and the other one is performed before midnight. Like the 19th and 21st nights, we recite Josh and Kabir supplication and seek God's forgiveness through intercession with and taking recourse to the Quran, the Prophet and his progeny. On this night, we are recommended to pray much for Imam Mahdi and remember him." There is a supplication that is recited on this night. It reads, "O God of night of Qadr, and maker of it better than 1,000 nights, and Lord of the night and the day, and the mountains and the seas, and the darkness and the lights, and the earth and the heaven. O Maker, O Former, O Kind, O Shower of Bounties, O God, O Compassionate, O God, O All Sustainer, O God, O Originator, O God, O God, O God, the best names, the loftiest parables, and the grandeur and bounties belong to you. I ask you to bless Muhammad and his progeny and place my name on this night among the successful, and my spirit with the martyrs, and my good deed at the highest point of paradise, and my evil deeds forgiven. And I plead to you to grant me certitude which accompanies with my heart and faith, which takes doubt away from me and make me satisfied with what you have distributed for me, and give us good in the world and good in the hereafter, and guard us against the punishment of burning fire, and give me a sustenance on this night, your remembrance and your gratitude and enthusiasm toward you, and returning to you and assisting me in what you have assisted Muhammad and progeny of Muhammad. Greetings to him and them. Food for thought. Salam, friends, and heartfelt condolences to all those who, in the countries to the east, are commemorating the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful, the Leader of the Pious, the epitome of justice, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Here, as food for thought, we present some of the last pieces of advice of the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I advise you and all my children, my relatives, and whosoever receives this message, to be conscious of Allah, to remove your differences, and to strengthen your ties. I heard your grandfather, the Prophet, peace upon him, say, reconciliation of your differences is more worthy than all prayers and all fasting.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio.
Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We're still trying to link the month of Ramadan to humanity, and we said pretty much most of it, or at least one dimension of this month, is related to the humanitarian aspect of things. We do understand through the words of the Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through the words of the Holy Prophet and the Holy Progeny, that fasting, one aspect of it is to prevent yourself from eating, drinking, intimacy, and few other things. So that's when it comes to the physical aspect. At the same time, fasting is about controlling your senses, not just to prevent food and water entering your mouth. The senses need to be controlled as well, and they need to fast as well. For example, when one listens to haram through his ears, and he listens to things which are forbidden, like music, backbiting, lying, and so on and so forth, these ears need to be controlled, and the gaze needs to be shut in these ears, where one should not be listening to anything that's forbidden during the month of Ramadan, because also that's the senses need to fast as well. When it comes, for example, to the tongue also needs to refrain from using anything that's harmful for other people. So let's talk about tongue here. Harming another human being, it could happen. We can harm another human being in two ways. We could either do it through physical, or we could do it through emotional and mental harm. And there is nothing more harmful to a person than the tongue. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tongue as a gift to use so I could speak and I could communicate with other people, not to use it as a loaded gun to shoot at other people. because we do understand sometimes a word is more powerful than a bullet to the brain. So sometimes you might say one word that breaks a heart of a person. You could say one word that will destroy the life of a person. You could say one word and you could destroy the reputation of one person. As simple as that. And all of us could relate to this. All of us, we can think of a time where a person has said something to us and it affected us deeply. And sometimes you say, you know what? This word will remain with me forever. Or sometimes you say, you know what? A person said this to me that still rings a bell in my ears. I have not forgot that word he says to me. And so on and so forth. So the tongue becomes a very powerful weapon to hurt and harm human beings. And mind you, every single war starts because someone gives a command to attack or kill other people. So as verbal, that turns and transforms into physical. And this is very harmful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the month of Ramadan, he says, not only you need to stop your stomach from consuming food and drinking water, but also your senses need to fast. They need to be controlled. So that tongue, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, it's like a wild horse. If you don't put a leash and control it, it will surely throw you off and will harm you. And Allah in the Quran, he says, every word that you utter, you have someone recording it. Someone sitting there recording your words, that one day in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will open the files and the folders and he says, okay, this is what you've done, this is what you said. So one needs to be careful. Now, before we continue any further, let us take a break and then we come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you're still listening to the program For Humanity. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the powerful effects and the harm that one can do with his own tongue. Therefore, we see that the Ahl Bayt Salamullah Alayhim, they gave the tongue a special place in their words and in their hadiths, in their traditions. For example, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says in a hadith, he says, this tongue, it is the key to everything that is good and to everything that is evil. So one could use this key to open either safes. So you can open the treasury of good, or you can open the gates of hell with just the tongue. And then the Imam salamullah alayhi continues and he says, a mu'min, a believing person, should seal that tongue and stamp it in the same way that he stamps his gold and his silver. So when a person has gold and silver, obviously he is not going to leave it laying around for anyone to touch and anyone to take, because it's valuable, because it has value. The Imam says, in the same way that gold and silver is valuable to you, your tongue should also be valuable to you. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith, he says, most of the dwellers of hell, they enter hell because of the things that they say with their tongues. So during the month of Ramadan, one needs to make sure that his tongue also fasts from harming other people, because we're talking about humanity here. We're trying to link it. So as a human being, you are not authorized to hurt and harm other people with your tongue, which means with your words. So that needs to fast. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam hadith, he says, al-Muslim, when he's trying to define who a Muslim is, he says, when a Muslim is the one who the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand, right? Which means either physical or verbal harm. If I cause another human being or another Muslim harm, either physically or verbally with my tongue, then I am no longer a Muslim. Because Islam, it means peace. And if I'm a Muslim, it means I'm a peaceful person. But how could I be a peaceful person when I'm deliberately harming other people with my tongue and hurting people with my words? So that defeats the purpose of Islam in the first place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the month of Ramadan, you have a duty beside controlling your desires, beside refraining from eating and drinking. You have to refrain from what? From harming other people, using words. And therefore, you see many narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and the words of the mystics. They say before the month of Ramadan, you need to go to people and ask them for forgiveness. And say to them, you know what, in case throughout the year I might have said something bad to you, I might have said something harmful to you, I might have taken your ghiba, I've done backbiting to you, I created, you know, sedation, fitna on your behalf. Please forgive me. So there's also a requirement to seek peace from other human beings before this month of Ramadan begins. So this is how important Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how seriously He takes the notion of words and the power of words. So one should also remember not only his stomach needs to fast, but also his senses need to fast with him as well. Inshallah, we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلي يا ربي على طه الأمين رحمة أرسلته للعالمين.
The Light.
Archaeologists have found a meaning for mysterious new findings in a cave in Mexico. They believe they are part of ancient Maya rituals. Around 1,200 years ago, some people imprinted their hands on the cave walls. The 137 prints are in two colors, black and red. Experts say the black ones represent death, while the red paintings are a reference to war or life. An analysis of their size also shows that the handprints were likely made by children as they entered puberty. The subterranean cavern, called Chichen Itza, is located nearly 10 meters below a tree, which Mayans assume sacred. Little hotels for little bees. In Colombia, wooden structures are built for the insects to rest after a hard day. The Oboro Valley Metropolitan Authority has installed the hexagon-shaped rooms for bees of all shapes and sizes. Every day, volunteers clean the bamboo hotel with paintbrushes. Designers say the bee hotels are made to protect some species that are more vulnerable.
These little bees are supremely sensitive to poisons, and since they don't produce honey, no one speaks up for them. So we're coming to the rescue.
Designers say bees are losing their habitat all over the world, so the hotels could be a means of survival. Colombia has registered 550 varieties of bees within its borders. In Britain, a revolutionary idea might change many things in regard to maritime boarding operations, a jet suit. This is what the Royal Marines are testing in a variety of scenarios. Wearing the jet suit, each person can fly freely over the water and land on a moving ship. Its developer company, Gravity Industries, says the suit provides quick access to any part of a target vessel. Previously, British paramedics had tested the unique product for search and rescue operations. The suit can reach a speed of 51 kilometers and a height of over 3,600 meters. Now, the 200th death anniversary of French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte has brought a unique opportunity for private collectors to buy his DNA. The auction offers Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, which is estimated to be sold for $18,000. The collection will also include a lock of the French Emperor's hair, a pair of his stockings, a shirt with an embroidered letter N, and other items of clothing.
In my opinion, Napoleon was the first to want to create a Napoleon brand, even when he was alive. He created an image, a symbol, a look, with his hat worn in reverse. It was a very ordinary hat, an ordinary coat, but he was a very good communicator, and he created his image. So generation after generation, we kept this image of Napoleon, his hat, and this contributed to the myth. But it was Napoleon who wanted from the beginning to create an image, a look.
Nearly 360 objects will go under the hammer in the upcoming auction. Many of the items are brought back from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. Historians say his belongings have sparked the passion of collectors in France and other parts of the world. Several years ago, one of the French emperor's signature bicorn hats was sold to a Korean food industry mogul for more than $2 million. A Belgian chocolate maker has come up with the idea of chocolate bunnies in the shape of vaccine syringes to spread hope during the coronavirus pandemic. Geneviève Trapon makes the chocolate bunnies at her workshop in a village south of Brussels. She has dubbed the chocolate syringes Lache à Aztec. I hope I pronounced that correctly. This is not the first time the Belgian confectioner has been inspired by the pandemic to create art. Last year, she also put white masks on its Easter bunnies to keep the spirit alive amid a worsening pandemic. Trapon says she came up with the idea of syringe-shaped bunnies after the first coronavirus inoculations in her country at the end of 2020.
Why did I decide to create the chocolate vaccine? We are still in a period of COVID-19, and it was the logical continuation of the little masked rabbit from last year. Back then, nobody was talking about vaccines. At the end of that year, we started talking about a vaccine, and I thought the rabbit should be vaccinated. It's a symbol of hope, and that's why I decided to create the vaccine.
Trapon says her works show natural health benefits of chocolate. She believes that the chocolate version, like a real vaccine, has enough positive effects such as anti-depression, nutrients, and magnesium. Many of us have missed air traveling, though, due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, a South Korean airline has opened a restaurant offering in-flight meals on land. The Jeju Air restaurant resembles being in a flight with mock plane windows and boarding gates. It serves popular onboard meals such as rice and chicken. Customers have hailed the creative idea, saying the experience reminds them of the joy of travel. Having food in the imaginary flight costs around $9 for each person. The temporary diner will run for the next 3 months.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Let's go to the Philippines to meet a man having a big, colorful collection of Happy Meal toys. Percival Log has been into collecting toys since he was five. His collection includes around 20,000 toys from fast food restaurant chains like McDonald's and Burger King. Log also holds a Guinness World Record from 2014. The 50-year-old graphic artist says he always takes good care of his beloved toys. He believes each toy has a story inside.
Toy is like a storyteller. in itself. Like, for example, it gives me a glimpse of that particular period when I got it, my story, what's going on, what are the incidents that are attached in the acquisition of that particular thing.
Luke says his family and friends also help him broaden his collection by donating toys. He hopes to display his toy collection for the public to, quote, give people a chance to revisit their childhood memories.
People around the world have been grounded by the coronavirus, with many being forced to work from home. But a Scottish man has made a secluded cliffside a perfect spot against a pandemic-induced change to working habits. Jason Griffin's 34-year-old call center consultant from Glasgow has put remote working technology to the test by moving his office to a dangling shelf off the Irish Sea. His move is seen as an attempt to give rise to the digital nomad, meaning people can use technology to work from wherever connectivity is possible. Griffin says as long as there is a mobile connection and his laptop, he has everything he needs to do his job.
Today we are pushing the technology to its limits because we're going over cliff face and we're abseiling down to a ledge, and I will be working all day from that ledge and taking and making calls, interacting with internal staff, just showing that remote literally means remote.
Griffins has set up a temporary office on a cliff face to prove that its performance is as good as a busy office. Call centres are one sector where remote working and technology has kept companies connected to customers. But the digital revolution has seen an inclination towards working remotely. The pink supermoon has glowed over different landmarks all over the world. The phenomenon lit up the sky in different countries from Greece to China on Tuesday night. The supermoon occurs when a full moon is closer to Earth than usual and therefore appears bigger and brighter in the sky. The term was first coined by an American astrologer in 1979. When the supermoon rises in April, it's called the pink supermoon after a pink wildflower that blooms in the eastern parts of North America. According to NASA, the next supermoon will come in less than a month on May 26th. In a remote part of Pakistan, two sisters have come up with a unique idea to help children continue their education during pandemic-related school closures. A camel library. The mobile library visits four villages in Pakistan's largest province of Balochistan. Children borrow books and return them the next time the camel visits. The project was founded by a local high school principal and her sister. Rahima Jalal says she started the project because she wanted children around her remote hometown to continue learning despite schools being closed.
When the coronavirus spread, the entire region and all the schools were closed. There was an atmosphere of depression for old and young alike. The region where I live, there is no entertainment for children at all, no place for outings. The only activity is the children going to school and coming back home. After the schools had remained closed for 8 or 9 months due to COVID, we started wondering what we could do for the children. How could we start some sort of activity which would keep children busy and also be of some benefit to them?
Pakistan closed the schools early in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic and sent some 50 million school and university students home. The closures put children in Balochistan at particular risk of falling behind, as the province is Pakistan's most impoverished. Even though some schools have reopened, children in this region still have trouble accessing educational resources.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat, or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
There are contractors who helped torture inmates at Abu Ghraib and massacred civilians at Nisr Square. Armed mercenaries who rolled with CIA in secret. Trained troops guarded dignitaries. Many died with no mention in the papers. Came home injured and sick with none of the benefits of Pentagon healthcare. They were a shadow army, really, a massive experiment in how Uncle Sam could wage war across several countries cheaper and longer by leaning on the private sector to do it, says Kelly Bicar Wallace, writer, in an article published under the heading End of an Era. Afghanistan is now graveyard of contractors, too. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. The Golden Post 9/11 Years of the War Contractor. The providers of food and transportation, fuel, construction, maintenance, IT, not to mention security and interrogation services for the U.S. military, appear to be drawing down. With the withdrawal of the remaining 3,600 troops in Afghanistan by September, attention is also on the nearly 17,000 contractors on the U.S. payroll there, 6,147 of whom are American citizens. The U.S. contractors will come out as we come out. That is part of